Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends across the public media spectrum in the region. I'm Carl Lengel, your host. It is the 9th of March, 2026, a Monday. A long-simmering sewage treatment problem near a pristine lake in the Swan Valley could soon be fixed. Montana Public Radio's Austin Amistoy reports the project could also allow a historic lodge to reopen for the first time in years.
State environmental officials in 2023 determined a wastewater lagoon serving Holland Lake Lodge had been leaking for an unknown period of time. It's taken another 2 years for the Flathead National Forest to propose a fix to the lagoon, which sits on public land. The lodge's owner, Eric Jacobson, says the road to get to this point has been anything but straight.
It's been far harder to navigate and taken far longer than I ever anticipated.
Jacobson bought the century-old lodge last year, promising to restore it and keep its rustic nature. His purchase came on the heels of an out-of-state resort company's attempt to buy the lodge and massively expand it. The Swan Valley community pushed back, and the plan fell through. Jacobson recently got county permission to pump the lodge's sewage into a separate holding tank while the Forest Service works to build the new wastewater system this summer. But he's unsure if the lodge will be able to open even partially. It has to clear many regulatory hurdles to ensure the tank can safely store waste. Engineer David Roberts was one of the first to discover the lodge's leaking wastewater problem. He's concerned the proposal to construct the new system lacks detail on who will operate it. Montana recently loosened its water quality standards too, adding to his worry.
Really, the only way you monitor is when a resource is getting ruined. And with something like Holland Lake, you don't want to wait till it's getting ruined. You want to protect it.
The Flathead National Forest is accepting public comment on the proposed wastewater treatment project at Holland Lake through the end of the month. In Missoula, I'm Austin Amistoy.
A public meeting on the project is set for tonight at the Swan Valley Community Hall in Condon at 5:30. The Montana State Billings women's basketball team became the first sixth seed team to win the Great Northwest Athletic Conference Championship. The Lady Yellow Jackets did it with a 66-61 victory Saturday night against the number one seed Western Washington University and on the Vikings' home court. This is MSUB's second GNAC championship in program history. Lady Jacket freshman Cassie Chestnut was named the MVP of the GNAC tournament, becoming the first ever freshman to receive tournament MVP. Yellow Jacket head coach Kevin Wooden said he was very proud of this group and, quote, to be a sixth seed and beat the 3-2-1 seeds in as many days is remarkable, unquote. MSUB Sports Information reports this is the second GNAC title in Wooden's coaching career and the third conference title of all time. MSUB is next headed to the NCAA Division II West Regionals. Who and where they play will be announced by the NCAA Sunday night. Some Wyoming senators say that a bill they've sent to the governor's desk may spark a special session later this year. The bill in question outlines how Wyoming will spend its $205 million in federal rural health transformation funds. But the feds still need to okay the state's plan. Negotiations are ongoing. If they don't agree with how the state wants to use the money, lawmakers would have to come back to rework the bill. During a third reading in the Wyoming Senate, an amendment that would avoid a special session was introduced.
That gives the folks in our Department of Health and on the first floor the best possible position to negotiate what's actually a very tricky negotiation with a very large amount of money.
That's Senator Mike Garrew, a Democrat from Jackson.
By taking this out, leaving it the way it is now, may very well mean we have to come back.
Senators voted to keep the amendment out. The bill is awaiting the governor's signature or veto. 8 teams from the Frontier Conference are headed to the Women's and Men's National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics, or the NAIA National Championship Basketball Tournaments. 3 conference schools, Rocky Mountain, Carroll, and Montana Tech, are sending both men's and women's teams to tournament locations. All will play in first-round games March 13th. On the men's side, Rocky will play at home at the Fortin Center on the Rocky campus in Billings against Simpson. The Tech Men are headed to Oklahoma to play Oklahoma City. Carroll Men will play Wayland Baptist in Arizona, and Bellevue will face Huntington in Indiana. The winners advance to games on March 14th. Those winners advance to the NAIA Men's 16-game championship tournament March 19th through the 24th in Kansas City, Missouri. For the women, Dakota State plays at home in Madison, South Dakota against Grandview. Tech women are headed west to play in Lewiston, Idaho to face Nelson, Rocky. Women will play Southern Oregon in Iowa, and the Carroll women will play in Indiana against Columbia. The winners will play on March 14th, and those winners advance to the women's 16-team NAIA championship tournament in Sioux City, Iowa, March 19th through the 24th. A new academic analysis estimates the cost of false information about vaccines during 1 year of COVID-19. Researchers at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill used national and state data to calculate the economic burden of misinformation. That includes the impact of conspiracy theories on social media about the impact of vaccines and their ingredients. University researchers estimate vaccine hesitancy cost the U.S. healthcare system $2 billion in 2021. They also broke estimates down by state. Montana and Wyoming had some of the highest costs at $10 to $14 per person. The article has been accepted to the Health Affairs Scholar Journal on Policy. The Trump administration has struck a deal with big tech companies that aim to keep energy costs down amid the data center boom. Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Mersbach reports on the non-binding pledge.
President Trump announced the ratepayer protection pledge during his State of the Union address.
We're telling the major tech companies that they have the obligation to provide for their own power needs.
That includes Amazon, Google, Meta, Microsoft, OpenAI, Oracle, and xAI. They pledged to pay for the energy infrastructure needed to power their data centers, to not pass on costs to households, a big concern for voters. But Energy Justice Program Director at the Center for Biological Diversity, Jean Sue, says the pledge holds little weight.
There is no enforcement mechanism to actually make sure that big tech follows through on those promises.
Sue says she wants to see ratepayer protections mandated by law, along with limits on data center carbon emissions. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Hannah Mersbach.
The North Dakota Highway Patrol's newest recruit has floppy ears, four legs, and a powerful tool for finding people. Bo the Bloodhound Pup joins a band of dogs that is in demand for difficult cases around the Midwest. The patrol now has four bloodhounds, and they've been called to Montana, South Dakota, and Utah to help searches. Trooper Stephen Mayer helps train dogs around the world. The patrol's dogs are also something of a social media sensation, which Mayer hopes creates awareness and inspires earlier calls for assistance. The state force receives about 70 calls a year for their services, including one to Montana last year to help find a man suspected in the killing of four people at the Owl Bar in Anaconda on August 1st of last year. Two pairs of handlers and dogs drove 10 hours to help. They got fairly close to the suspect, who was in the location where the dogs were indicating on, said Trooper Stephen Mayer, who handles Blue, one of the dogs. Montana's State Arts Agency reminds artists of a unique opportunity, the 2026 Artists Thrive Summit. Billings is one of six national sites participating concurrently in the event March 24th through the 26th. According to Montana Arts Council, the summit is a rare gathering where artists, arts administrators, educators, and funders across all disciplines work together to help artists thrive. The Artists Thrive Summit offers 3 days to learn, exchange ideas, meet others, be inspired, and ignite a thriving, healthy arts field. Each day includes nationwide Zoom sessions, local sessions specific to Montana, plus opportunities to tour local art spaces, make art, see what others are doing, meet like-minded folks, and come away inspired. Artists will delve into what it means to build and nurture a series of belonging, especially in remote, rural, and tribal landscapes. Billings participants will also explore how artists can build relationships across distances and identify opportunities and collaborations in their own hometowns to better help build thriving communities. Artists, musicians, writers, potters, presenters, anyone making a living in the arts is encouraged to attend. Some scholarships are available. The Billings event is sponsored by the Montana Arts Council, MSU Billings, and the Tremaine Foundation. For more information about the Artists Thrive Summit, visit arts.mt.gov. That's The Worm for this Monday. Catch up with us tomorrow morning. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.